Hug Shavuot Sameach, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my vivacious wife, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
And Hug Shavuot Sameach to you as well, as this Sunday is Pentecost, 50 days from his resurrection. And we hope you took the time to read the book of Ruth. But if not, well, perhaps by Sunday you could do it, because it is a common read story during this season. And in fact, before we get into the news, we'll give you a little teaser to spark your interest. Of course, right after we give thanks to our Lord.
Abba, Father, thank you for sending your comforter to us to teach us all things as your Son promised his disciples. Thank you for your wonderful gifts of knowledge that continues every day. New sights to behold and to grow by as we never stop learning. For thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light to guide our path, Lord. Bless tonight's listeners. Hear their petitions and open the hearts of all our loved ones. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
And amen. Well, before we get into the news, because there's a lot of it, we want to again encourage you to read the book of Ruth this week or on Pentecost with your family and point out the numerous pictures that you see. It will bless you, I promise. And in fact, we did a thorough 5-week study last year, which is archived on shofarministries.net. But to whet your appetite, let us just say that we'll talk a little bit about it and give you a little appetite here. But Pentecost commemorates the day they received the Torah back in Exodus 19. And then 50 days late after Jesus rose from the dead, he sent the Holy Spirit on another Pentecost that we read about in Acts chapter 2. Okay, let's begin tonight with that overview to, again, like I said, give a little teaser, so to speak. Well, first off, the Jewish people decorate their homes with many fresh flowers and read the Torah more intensely during the week of Pentecost because it commemorates the day they received the Torah at the foot of Mount Sinai. The other tradition, as we said, is also reading of the book of Ruth.
And, you know, she was King David's great-grandmother.
She was. And it tells her story, being a Gentile from Moab, falling in love with Israel and accepting their covenant that they had received on the first Pentecost, again, back in Exodus 19. Now a widow, Ruth marries another Jewish man named Boaz, who redeems back the land that her mother-in-law Naomi, due to a famine, had to forego when they left Bethlehem.
This is a picture of our marriage to Jesus.
Yes, our kinsman redeemer, who will also redeem the earth when he returns and sets up his messianic kingdom. Ruth is a great type of how we, the church, especially in these days, are to feel about Israel as well. Therefore, Christians, too, should read the book of Ruth, especially during this season, also called the Feast of Weeks, or Shavuot in Hebrew. How appropriate, although not realized, that the Hebrews picked this particular story about a Gentile who clings to Israel to be read during Pentecost. No longer are we just a Gentile, but now a born-again believer with a new name called Christian. For one day, all Israel will be saved and have the name of Christian as well.
Romans 11:26 and Galatians 3:28.
The Feast of Pentecost is the official birth of the church, which means we've been grafted into the olive tree, a symbol for Israel. And we displayed that picture in last month's newsletter of Israel's state seal, outlined with the olive branches, with the menorah in the center of the branches. Hopefully most of you saw that. Revelation 1:20 says, the menorah, called the seven golden lamps, is a symbol for the church that stays lit 24/7. In fact, I have a pendant necklace of Israel's state seal that I often wear. It's just so very interesting to me that Israel would choose those two symbols for its state seal. Coincidence? I think not. But then again, they don't read Revelation, at least not chapter 1. And remember, Yeshua's words in John chapter 4.
That our salvation comes from the Jews.
Amen. And Hag Shavuot Sameach.
Okay, you can send your comments or your end time questions to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office. But be sure to leave your phone number with a detailed message to 440-834-9006 and we will call you back. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. And yes, we do need your help to stay on the air. Your love offerings are greatly appreciated. You can also donate on shofarministries.net, where you will find our archived newsletters and past radio programs, all archived for your convenience.
And labeled, too.
So, a lot can happen in 1 week.
And certainly confusing since last Tuesday. With good things and not so good, in my opinion. But no real breakthrough agreements were finalized at China's welcoming pageantry that we all know President Trump loves. But one good thing is China agrees that Iran should not have nuclear weapons and the Strait of Hormuz should be opened, and said he would buy more soybeans to help our farmers.
That is very good, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm. He also made some verbal deals with our high-tech companies and also to Boeing to purchase 200 jet planes. Of course, I hope that's not for eventual use against us or likely Taiwan, because even commercial planes can be retrofitted for military purposes.
Yes, they can.
I'm sure they will also examine in detail the inner workings to help their own manufacturing.
For sure.
But my question is, why do we get excited about China buying our planes, but hold back on Taiwan, who are also paying big bucks?
Right.
And as everyone knew what happened, President Xi wanted to know if America would enter the war when China tries to take back Taiwan. And then he warned that mishandling the Taiwan issue could lead to clashes and conflicts.
Trump said he did not answer Z.
That's what he said, but to many that left the door open by saying he made no commitment either way. And when asked on the way back on Air Force One by a reporter if we will send more weapons to Taiwan, he said he would make that determination in a few days.
So he's being ambiguous on purpose?
Well, he had to be while in China, and I get that. But this was after leaving China. And now there is strong speculation that he could scale back the weapons of our long-standing practice of providing Taiwan with at least the means to defend itself, which, by the way, is written into U.S. law, was in 1979, and it's called the Taiwan Relations Act.
But again, he could stall or even trim it a bit to please China.
Yes. He just might do that. So we'll use our favorite expression.
We will see.
Mm-hmm. And also very interesting is that Trump last week hedged about Iran from never enriching uranium to accepting just a 20-year freeze if Iran shows real commitment.
If Iran shows real commitment.
Right. They do lie. And yet still again, Trump said he was pausing his attack, which he said was scheduled actually for today, to give Iran yet another chance to make a deal, which was actually prompted by the Gulf states, because probably after the UAE's new major pipeline was hit early yesterday by Iran's missile. And this new pipeline was enabling the UAE to bypass the Strait of Hormuz.
So that was the last straw?
Mm-hmm, I would imagine. And now they're more willing to help the United States, but just needed a few days to coordinate with the other Gulf states. So Trump paused, using the cover that Iran was ready to make a better deal, which Trump says he's giving just a few days.
So we can expect a renewal of attacks very soon.
I would think, possibly this week. But back to China. Other than Taiwan, Trump called the summit an historic success. And they appear to get along great, in Trump's words, which we all knew he would say, regardless.
But President Xi did say he wanted to keep buying oil from Iran.
I know, although much less than its normal pre-war of 1.6 million barrels per day. As we said last week, China has continually been importing oil from Iran via trucks into Iraq, the railway up north of Iran, and the Caspian Sea through Russia, who, by the way, Putin arrived in China today, and I'm sure for reassurance of their alignment. China actually needs to import over 11 million barrels per day. Wow. And much does come from from Russia. But it also comes from Saudi Arabia, Brazil, Malaysia, Iraq, and smaller amounts from other countries. But China did tell Trump he would buy about 600,000 barrels per day from us.
Whoopee.
A rather small pittance compared to 11 million that they use. And by the way, as a reminder, China has a deep relationship with Iran. In fact, last September, they signed a 25-year strategic alliance, and Xi openly called Iran a partner. And truth be told, Xi likes the fact that Iran does make life very difficult for the United States.
Xi wants to be an important player in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm. And as far as Xi's saying that he would not send Iran any more military arms, as in planes and tanks, he never said, because he will, send machine components and replacement parts that go into their long-range missiles and defense systems, which now we know they did. And one of the reasons Iran is still able to repair their missiles and launchers. And for buying our soy and planes, Trump said he would consider lifting some sanctions on China.
That's Trump's way of saying he will.
Mm-hmm, yes, it is. Remember, China wants to rule the world and therefore wants every country to kowtow to them.
Especially us.
And I think Xi was somewhat brazen when he referred to us falling into the Thucydides trap, which is just a term to describe when a rising power overcomes a failing society.
Xi, meaning China, is the rising power.
Well, of course. And when Trump was asked about it, he just said, oh, Xi was referring to America when Biden was president.
I'm not so sure.
Right. Because Xi also referred to the coming new era, when China rules and therefore the United States must be irrelevant. This, as we say often, aligns with Jeremiah 30:11, and it was obvious that China projects confidence in its rising power as kings of the East. And in the same 7 days since we were on last Tuesday, the Israeli military took out another leader of Hamas, one of the architects of the October 7th attack, and they have increased their Gazan territory to 60%.
They keep moving the yellow line.
Yes, in response to Hamas attacking across that line. So Israel just keeps moving more inward.
As well, they continue against Hezbollah.
Yes, they do, and took out another jihad leader in Lebanon on Sunday. So making significant strides in spite of their hands being somewhat tied until President Trump says otherwise, which we assume will be soon.
When they start hitting Iran again.
That's the scoop. Israel and us Israel lovers want Trump to just finish the job and get in the new Persian regime waiting in the wings for its call to action, as their army, called the Immortal Guard, have been receiving I understand, more arms.
Probably helped by the ceasefire.
Yes, also, we should point out another good reason for President Trump calling the ceasefire before the 60-day timeline was so that they could say, which they emphatically did, that Operation Epic Fury is over. Otherwise, Trump would have to get congressional approval to continue, which he knew would be a problem. So therefore, a few weeks of no war means Trump could start over with a new 60-day war under the War Powers Act, which is why they had to rename it Operation Sledgehammer.
So much semantics.
Yes. But Iran has also been hard at work, utilizing the ceasefire, although they violate it frequently, to recover weapons that were previously hidden underground.
Or buried under rubble from airstrikes.
Yeah. Their aim was to quickly reconstitute its missile and drone capabilities as they ready themselves for another sure war.
And they are arming regular citizens to help.
Which really is only about 5% of the population who are loyal to the regime. So that's not a lot compared to the 93 million people.
And the women are being taught to use AK-47s.
I did see that. They are certainly desperate. And we have more news about Israel on their political side of an ongoing dispute by their ultra-Orthodox parties on the military issue. The long-standing exemption framework for yeshiva students who study mostly the Talmud and Jewish law has become increasingly controversial after the October 7th war and the extended military reserve burden placed on secular and national religious Israelis. The Israeli Supreme Court and large segments of the public are demanding broader equality in the service obligations, especially during a three-front war.
Bottom line, the military is getting tired.
True. And once again, the left in Israel is calling for early elections, trying to oust Netanyahu as they try to do every couple of years during his decades of service.
Only succeeding once, but not for very long.
Okay, and then we got to mention June being Pride Month. Not a day or even a week, but a whole month. This is sickening, especially because almost every city has some kind of recognition, often in parades, displaying sodomites with long tongues displaying their debauchery. In fact, honey, please read Isaiah 57, verses 3 and 4.
But come here, you sons of the sorceress, you offspring of the adulterer and the harlot. Whom do you ridicule? Against whom do you make a wide mouth and stick out the tongue? Are you not children of transgression, offspring of falsehood?
That's pretty plain. That's exactly what they do. What makes me sad is that Prime Minister Netanyahu's he actually okayed these wretched parades all over Israel, even in the heart of Jerusalem. And that's one reason for the coming judgment called Jacob's Trouble. But America's judgment will happen at the same time because we are even worse. But anyone who wants to can be spared in Israel, in America, or the entire world if only they choose to follow Yeshua. Today, we do see a surge in the younger generations, especially in college, getting saved. But where are all the disciples that they need to teach them the basic principles, as in one-on-one? These are the days of the Laodicean church where many call themselves Christian, but in a lukewarm body that prefers not doing any more than they have to and being too busy in the world's way.
Being entertained instead of being convicted.
You know, most don't even bring a Bible to church anymore. And with terrorism and lawlessness rising, with so many natural disasters and threats of many more, along with new or renewed diseases popping up all the time, you would think the adults would be yearning for more of his knowledge and wisdom to better understand the days we are living.
And of his soon return.
You know, most don't want to read from the prophet books, for it requires some study. And even though there contains a special blessing granted to all who study the book of Revelation, the majority of the church want to remain as babies. You know, staying on milk and liking it.
Hebrew 5, 12 through 14.
Mm-hmm. There is a scripture that says, my people perish for lack of knowledge.
Hosea 4, 6.
What does that really mean? Well, knowledge is deaf. According to the lexicon, this word is especially used for God's knowledge in the highest sense. Perish is dama, and according to Strong's, can also mean to be dumb or silent.
So, my people are dumb for lack of God's knowledge.
Yes, or my people are silent for lack of knowledge. You don't speak what you don't know. But thank God there is always a remnant, and I hope that's you, who do want the deeper truths of his word. If not, there is still time. Or perhaps someone you know needs a nudge to increase themselves in the full knowledge of God.
Colossians 1:10.
So ask yourselves, have you neglected God's word? For Amos says in chapter 8, verse 11,
the days are coming, declares the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land, not a famine of food or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord.
You know, the signs of his return are here. The mark is ready to be implemented, and we are now told aliens are here and abducting people like those disappearing scientists. Which, by the way, is how they will explain our rapture that we've surmised years ago, actually. But also just last month at TED Talk, Dr. Scott Phoenix very bluntly told the audience in Vancouver that, and I quote, there will come a time in the not-so-distant future when you decide to stick a computer chip in your brain. Someone you work with will get it first, and you'll hold out for a while, the way you did with the smartphone. But eventually, you won't. The advantages of integration will be hard to compete with. We're on the cusp of the next major transition, the merger of humans and AI. Close quote. This perspective is commonly held in Silicon Valley. You know, OpenAI CEO Sam Altman said way back in 2017, that emerge is probably our best case scenario for survival after the emergence of superhuman AI. And tech billionaire Peter Thiel is a vocal advocate of transhumanism as well. Of course, he would be. So now it's time to ask you, do you truly have the blood of Jesus flowing through your heart? How well do you know him? Is he personal to you? If not, you can invite him in right now, because Jesus is your only Savior who has totally paid your debt for your sins. Grab it right now, unless, of course, you prefer to pay the debt for your sins yourself. Anyone and everyone has a free will, so you must choose. Your choice alone, who you want to serve, good or evil. The Aaronic blessing is the Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, the Jerusalem, you're going to prosper in many ways. See you next time. Tell someone about Jesus.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.